Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom on your Wednesday Inspirational Bible Study Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and as always, it's an honor as well as a privilege to be to come before the people of God. I pray that all of your activities and everything that happened in your week from our last meeting have been rewarding unto you, and if you've been looking for something from God that he delivered and things that may have been going on that needed to be straightened was straightened out. I want you to know that it is not no accident that we are back on the air this Wednesday, because nothing happens unless God orchestrated or allow it. And I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to call each Wednesday. Well, our program tonight is coming out of the book of Hosea. And we're going to be in the fourth chapter. We're going to expound on verses 1 through 18. And the title of the lesson is Spiritual Adultery is Just as Bad as Physical Adultery. Well, you know, each week we have to go to the throne of grace. Once the song is played, if anyone would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic and you could come through the airwaves. I have a caller. Your number is 228-493-8003. Your one button has been pressed. And I'm going to just open the mic, but if it was an error, you could let us know and we'll go on with the program. 228-493-8003, your mic is open.
It was an error, but I will pray.
You say you want to pray?
Hello. Yes, it was an error, but I'll pray.
If you like, you could pray now, and I'll play the song after you. You can wait till after the song is played.
Okay. Okay, because I'm driving, I'm just pulling up. I'll wait till after the song. Thank you.
I thank you so much, Carla. This is a great way to start the program. Hallelujah. What I'm going to do now is play the song. And once I play the song, we're going to come back and call whose number is 228. We're going to open a mic and allow her to pray. So listen to the song. Be prayerful for the lesson that's going to go forth on tonight. And we'll be back to expound on the scriptures. The name of the song is Encourage Yourself.
Yourself. Sometimes you
In the name of that song, Jim, let's encourage yourself. You know, there's many times in life where you may feel that...
How many people are encouraged or not?
You know, you need to be encouraged. And you can't seem to get it sometime from your boss or from your job or from your friends or from your family. But the scripture was letting us know that we sometime have to encourage ourselves. And the way to do that is you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. So now it's time to go to the throne of grace. And we have a caller that's 228 that's going to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. And caller, your mic is open at this time.
Oh God, thy heavenly Father, we are coming to you today, not only me, the whole class of studied warriors, to the throne of grace. I'm asking you just to be with me in my words that go forth in this prayer. First of all, God, I would like to say another word without thanking you for what you've done for me and my family, what you have done and what you are doing. I would like to take this time just to say thank you. I would like to say that it's your will that I pray tonight. I don't know how the one button got pressed, but you want me to pray tonight to our people. And that's what I'm doing. You have to be mindful that you are our supreme being. You are our and only living God. And to you we give the glory in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you for my church family, and all those affiliated with the Wednesday night prayer band. I want to thank you for healing my body, God, the Heavenly Father. I have a testimony about being a cancer survivor, and it's all because of you, God, the Heavenly Father. You made a way for me to go through this and come out in flying colors. And for that, I want to thank you. God, the Heavenly Father, we're living in a sin-sick world today, God, the Heavenly Father, and I want to ask you to just look down, not just America, upon the world today, God, the Heavenly Father. So many bad things are happening, and people are having bad things on their mind, God, the Heavenly Father. We need help. We need your mercy. We need your grace. And I'm asking that you would help us, because we're in need. We're in need of prayer. So through it all, I would like to say I love you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank God.
I want to thank you, my sister, for bringing that prayer forth. And like you said, you don't know why the button was pressed. But God works in mysterious ways, and his wonders are always present and performed. And I just say, like the song said, continue to encourage yourself in the Lord and keep being faithful, and God will bring you through. Thank you very much for that prayer, my sister. And we had our song, and we've now had our prayer. And we're going to expound on the lesson together. Again, because some more callers have called in, I want to remind everybody who have your Bibles, go to Hosea, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 18. And the title of the lesson is Spiritual Adultery is Just as Bad as Physical Adultery. And I want you to remember, as we go into this lesson, we are still in the books of prophets. And we have studied some prophets already. We had Isaiah, Jeremiah, we did Lamentations, we did Ezekiel, we did Daniel, and now we on Hosea. And different ways God called the prophets in different ways to be their prophets. And tonight we're going to see how God called, ordained, and sanctified Hosea to bring the word of prophecy to the people of God. And I'm going to give you the background like we always do. And I want you to know that God first started talking to Hosea in the beginning of the book of Hosea. In verse 1, 2, and 3, the verse stated, "The Lord, beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom. And departing from the Lord, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son." You see, Gomer was considered a lady of leisure. She was a prostitute. I now, you know, she was a prostitute. Y'all bear with me right now. You know, Hosea must have wondered why God would ask him to do such a thing. But he obeyed. He obeyed what God asked him to do, even though he didn't understand it. He didn't know where it would lead to. But you see, he was faithful unto God, and he obeyed. You see, Gomer bared Hosea 3 sons before it was all over. And I could imagine that Hosea had to wonder if all of the children were really his. Perhaps the most controversial elements of this story is that Hosea's children was pulled into an elaborate picture in which God represented the Israelites' spiritual adultery. God had to use Hosea and his children to paint the picture that he, so that they could get a clear look at what they were doing. You see, God uses everything that he created for his glory. And God will use everyone to try to save another one. You see, God commanded Hosea to name his children in a way that reflected his rejection on Israel. The children's names each meant something that was symbolic to what they were doing in the land. You see, the question has been asked over and over and over. Why would God command such a thing? Why would God force Hosea and his family into such painful situations? And the main answer can be probably summed up in this phrase, desperate times calls for desperate measures. You see, Hosea's prophecy gave Israel a tangible example of its spiritual idolatry, yet portrayed God's love for Israel in spite of her spiritual infidelity. Hosea wrote this book to remind the Israelites, and not just them, y'all, but God had Hosea to write this book to remind us as well that God is loving and loyal and is loyal to his covenant people in unwavering affection and unimmense love towards his people. In spite of Israel continuous turning to false gods, God's steadfast love is portrayed in the long-suffering husband and an unfaithful wife. You have to realize what this book of Hosea is talking about. It's talking about unfaithfulness. And it's an analogy that God is allowing to be with an analogy that he's using things that we are familiar with to get his point across. Hosea's message is also one of warning to those who would turn their backs on God's love. Though this symbolic representation of marriage of Hosea and Gomer, God's love for the idolatrous nation of Israel is displayed in a rich metaphor in the theme of sin, judgment, and forgiving love. You know, every time we did the prophecy that God had given to the prophets to warn the Israelites of their wrongdoing, and they told them what would happen and the judgment that would come forth. And as we expound on each prophecy and each judgment that God sent down, there was always a message of love and forgiveness attached to it, if there would be repentance. Hallelujah. You see, near the end of Hosea's ministry, the Israelites were a single generation away from destruction. Now, you have to think about that for a minute. And remember, it all started back when God made the promise to Abraham that he would make his children a nation, and they would be his promised people. And he would love them, protect them, and honor them. And after God made the promise, and when God made the Israelites a nation, over and over and over and over again, they were unfaithful to God. God would allow another nation to come and put them in bondage. In Egypt, they were slaves. They was captured by the Babylonians for 70 years. And here we see that it was almost the end of Isaiah's prophecy, and the Assyrians was going to come in and take Judah into captivity. So God gave Hosea the prophecy and told him to marry a lady of Hodom so that he could have it in his heart to know how it feels when someone betrays, and know how it feels when someone is unfaithful, and know how it feels that no matter what you do for somebody, they could still turn their back on you. You see, when Hosea began to prophesize and speak to the people about the judgment that was going to come and what they were doing against the God of Israel, speaking it with understanding, he was speaking it because he felt it. And that's why God allowed Hosea to marry Gomer and then prophesize about unfaithfulness. You see, if Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea, he not only cheated on him, but straight out left him to be with someone else. In fact, most scholars believe that Gomer left Hosea's home in order to return to her brothel. She wanted to go back to her old way of life and her old means of earning a living. You see, the sad truth is that Hosea was forced to purchase his wife in order to bring her back home. After she left him, God told him, go back and get her and bring her home. Hosea obeyed. Yes, he was hurt. I'm sure he was embarrassed, but he obeyed God. Hosea had to pay 15 pieces of silver and he had to give some barley to get her back. Now, he had to pay 15 pieces of silver, but I want to let you know the normal price that had to be paid for a slave back then was 30 pieces of silver. So this lets you know how far Gomer had sunk to such a low that she was worth only half of the price of the common silver necessary to redeem. And they said that 15 pieces of silver only equated to 10 bushels of animal food. But Jose went back and got her. He had to acquire her as if she was a slave. We don't know if Jose was desperate to find his wife once again and reclaim her out of passion of love. But what we do know is that God used Gomer's unfaithfulness as a way of pointing out the condemnation and continuous spiritual adultery of the Israelites. You see, time and time again, however, the Israelites turned their backs on their relationship. Time after time, they rejected God and returned to their old idolatry and false gods. Yet God was always waiting for them with open arms. That's the kind of God we serve. So now we're going to go into the scripture and we're going to read Hosea. We're going to start at the first verse and we're going to read all the way down to the fifth. Scriptures read as follows. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. Verse 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and the blood toucheth blood. 3. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall lavish with the beasts of the field and with the fowl of the heavens. Ye, the fishes of the sea, also shall be taken away. And 4. Ye let no man strive, nor reprove another, for the people are as they that strive with the priests. And 5 says, therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophets also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. I pray that each and everyone read the first, second, and third chapter. We are now in the fourth chapter, and you could see where this chapter is leading up to and what happened before that. The first, second, and third chapter mostly spoke about the unfaithfulness of Gomer to her husband, Hosea. And God was painting a picture for you to understand what the prophecy is really about and why did he use the analogy of an unfaithful wife and an unfaithful nation. But now we see that everything is turning from the unfaithfulness of a wife and a husband to the unfaithfulness of a heavenly father and his children, who are the Israelites. And these verses was reflecting that. It was talking about the Israelites' unfaithfulness. And if we look at them scriptures that was just read, here the focus of the book shifts from Gomer to the children of Israel. God chastened Israel for breaking 5 of the 10 commandments. When you saw in that scripture when they talked about swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and committing adultery, if you paid attention, that was 5 of the 10 commandments. And God was telling them, this is what y'all doing. Y'all even breaking a commandment. People started leaning to their own understanding and doing things that just seen it right in their own eyes. You know, the Bible talks about there will be a time when people will do anything they thought they was big and bad enough to do, when people will go around and handle God any kind of way that they wanted to. He said that he would turn them over to a reprobate mind, and you know what that means, that he will stop. You know, he will let them go their own way, in other words. You know, they won't have conviction about how they handle the things of God as much, maybe, as they used to. You know, God will let them go their way, and they say the end thereof is destruction. And that's what God, Jose, was telling the people, that God was telling them, you're doing it like you want, but in the end, you're going to get what you got. You see, the land spoken of here is a description of our land today. People today are at odds with God, and they are disobedient to his word. Truth and mercy are both God's gifts to mankind, and the knowledge of God's word for our lives is for you to have and enjoy. You know, we're never going to have the opportunity to say, well, God, why didn't you? Or God, why you didn't do it that way? And if you was God, why you didn't handle it this way? You have to remember, God is in control. God does what he wants, how he wants, with what he wants, when he wants, and where he wants. We will not always understand what God has in store, or why God did it that way, or why he allowed it to happen that way. But if you really begin to trust God, you know, even in the midst of the mess, in the middle of the storm, God was still working it out together for your good. The scripture is saying nothing will be exempt, and no one will be exempt. When God come back, the land, the beast, the fowl, the fish, the prophets, the priests, and her children, the children of Israel. And Israel, he said, well, they will destroy the mother. He's using mother to explain Israel. You know, when we always see that he called Jerusalem her and he called Israel mother, you know, so speaking in a female voice for that, those things, but that's what the scripture was saying, will be destroyed because of their disobedience and unfaithfulness. Now, if we go to the sixth verse, we're going to read the 6 to 10, and they say it, and this is a very, 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 very common scripture, a known scripture, I should say. And 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt no priest, thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. 8, they eat up the sins of the people, talking about the Pharisees, and they set their hearts on their iniquities. 9, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. And the 10th verse said, for they shall eat and not have enough. You know what this is saying? You know, people, that no matter how much they have, it's not enough. The scriptures say they'll continue to eat, but they'll never get full. There's some scriptures, I think, in the book of Hezekiah, say they'll put on clothes, but they never could get warm. He said they'll put money, they'll make money, and it'd be like money, putting money in your pocket with a hole in it. God is saying, unless you have me in the picture, it's not going to work. It may seem like it for a while, But all of these things are only temporal, and only what you do for Christ will last. He said, you get with my program, or my program will get with you. And again, the 10th verse said, for they shall eat and have not enough. They shall commit whoredom, and they shall not increase, because they have left off to take, they have left off to take heed to the Lord. These scriptures are saying, and that scripture that says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. You know, the cause of man's problem is a lack of knowledge. But I want to tell you that, and this was so interesting that I, in my study, I ran across this. It does not stem from a shortage of information, but rather from rejecting of the information. All of us know right from wrong. Even before we got committed to God the way we are, we have enough knowledge of right and wrong to just do what was right because it was just the right thing to do. And yet we fail. But it's a lack of knowledge, but it does not mean a shortage of information, but rather from rejecting of the information. We know what God says. Each one of us can look in the mirror right now and know we know what we're doing that we shouldn't do. So when we have the information, I guess that stems back to being a hearer of the word but not a doer of the word. And that's why the Bible teaches us that we all fall short of the glory of God. You know, and God said, those who have accepted my son, he said, when you do things that you shouldn't, he said, I no longer see your sins, but when I look at you, I can only see my son. And we are not trying to do good to be saved, because once we accept Jesus as our Savior, our salvation is locked in. It is guaranteed. But we are not doing good to be saved, but because God allowed his son to die and suffer, and what he has done for us, we should want to do good by him. You see, we all have far more knowledge of what is right than we do. We know more of what to do than we do. You see, let me tell you about the priest. This is these scriptures I just read, 6 to 10, was talking about the priest. The priests were eager to eat up the sins of the people. Well, what they saying there, Diane? Well, what he was saying was the priest was happy when the people sinned. If you all know the history of the priest didn't get any land when they went into the promised land and the land was divided. The priest would get their provisions and their needs met as the people came to the temple to sacrifice. Plenty of times it was sacrifice, you know, they sacrificed animals, but sometimes people brought corn or sometimes people brought other vegetables. People brought what they had, but they brought a tenth of it, and so much would be offered up to God. And some of the things that God would get a portion and the rest would go to the priest, and that's the way the priest took care of their families. Yes, in those days, priests had families. They had wives and children. And that's how they were taken care of. But right here in Hosea's day, and when God sent Hosea to prophesy, as I said earlier in the text, the people were leaning and doing whatever they wanted to do. And God went to them, and he's talking to the priest. He said, you eating up the sin, saying as if, you glad when they sin. Because the more they sin, the more they have to sacrifice. And the more they sacrifice, the more went in your pocket. He told them, you are eating up the sins of the people. They did this by urging the people to offer hypocritical, ineffective sacrifices for sin. You know, the Bible taught that the sacrifice had to be without spots and blemish, and, you know, it had to be a virgin calf, and, you know, all of these things. But the priest don't let them bring it any kind of way. And he was bringing it and presented it to God. You see, the more the people sin, the more the priests ate, the more they gained. And they had so many sacrifices offered that they had so much that they were able to sell some. Come on, y'all. They sold the sacrificial meat to make money. That's why the scriptures say not only will the people suffer, but the priests. He was throwing them in the same sack. The priest was no different than the people. The people enjoyed sin in excess, and the priest encouraged it. You see here that there's nothing new under the sun. People using God for profit. Y'all can look at the TV and see the preachers on there, and all they say is sow a seed, and God told them to tell you. You know, there's nothing new. But if you do, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, if you begin to study to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth, and you ask God for the spirit of discernment, then you'll know what's right and what's not right, and you use what's right, and you let the rest go away. But you cannot block out the whole word of God. You cannot block out God or the Bible or certain parts because you think people ain't right. You see, you got to trust God to know that whatever information that is necessary for you, if you seek it, you will get it. Just like I'm talking way thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, what the priest was doing in Hosea time. This is the Old Testament, and the New Testament hadn't even been written or lived. And this is what they were doing. You see, when they ate, we cut off. When they ate, when the priest ate, no matter how much was given to them by God, it was never enough. One of the ways God would punish those who follow false gods was to cut off their food by famine. You know, we often hear about the famine in the land. If we read verses 11 through 14, and it reads as follows, hold them in wine and new wine, take away the heart. Talking about whoring around and drinking wine, you know, that's folly. They say it takes away the heart. Verse 12, the people asked counsel for their stock and for their staff, declared unto them, for the spirit of Holden has caused them to error. And they have gone a whoring from under their God. Verse 13, they sacrifice upon the top of the mountain and burn incense upon the hill, under oaks and poplars and elms. Because the shadow they are is good. Talking about trees. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouse shall commit adultery. And 14 say, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouse when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and their sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that do not stand shall fall. That's the scripture. You see, what he was saying was drunkenness and whoredom go together. You see, those who drink lose control of their own will. The Bible never said it was a sin to drink. But God loves us so much, he always wants us to be in control, because he said the devil, the adversary, is roaring around like a lion, thinking, seeking who he may devour. So God wants you to be up on your game. It's not a sin to drink, but it's a sin to overindulge. But God just wants you to be in control. See, the whoredom spoken here is of the spiritual nature, not the physical nature. This is speaking of the worship of false gods. They have left the one true God for the false god. They worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. See, when the scripture is talking about they like to do the things under the oak tree and the hills and the poplars, they wanted to bring, and the elms, they wanted to bring themselves, their sacrifices there, and they were trees. But they wanted to serve the creature rather than the creator. Instead of instituting God's way and consulting the God who made the trees and the wood, they consulted the trees and the wooden idols that can be fashioned from them. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. People want to go in and worship the moon, and they want to worship the calf, and they want to worship the tree, and they want to worship all these things. If you could take time to worship a tree, how could you not think about who made the tree? That's what the scripture is talking about. You see, spiritual idolatry gave way to physical idolatry, which was incorporated into the religious rituals of their idolatrous worship. In other words, they began to take and incorporate sexual things into the worship. They were performing sexual acts, and they incorporated, because they think they just that right, they started incorporating it into the worship. You see, God then caused their wives to be unfaithful to them as they had been with him. Although all who sinned will be judged, God forbid punishment of the adulteress, the woman, alone, and leaving the man who patronized them and let them go free. You see, the heaviest punishment would not be on the woman who sinned, but the father and the husband who set such a bad example by their engagement with prostitutes. Sin feeds upon itself. God was the husband of Israel in the spirit. They who worship false gods committed spiritual adultery against God. That sin was so terrible that physical adultery paled in comparison. It has been the law to stone to death someone who is caught in an act of physical adultery. But why punish that individual when the majority of the nation was guilty of spiritual adultery? God is telling them, y'all may want to take this little act, Mary and John, and nail it to the cross. He said, but all of y'all are guilty, and those without sin cast the first stone. He said, everybody has turned their back and doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, why you want to do it. He says spiritual adultery. Because I'm faithful to you. God has never turned his back on us. It may seem that way sometimes, but you got to remember God has never turned his back on you. God said, because I can never leave you. No, I'll never forsake you. And when you feeling like God is not present, it is not because God is turning away from you. It's because you have turned away from God. And that's what God was telling Hosea to tell the people. And he used Gomer's and Hosea's marriage to get his point across. And if we read the last scriptures, verses 15 through 19, it says, though thou, Israel, slay the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. Now, y'all got to remember, Israel was the southern kingdom, and Judah was the northern kingdom. You know, they had the 12 tribes of Israel, and they was united. And Solomon had sinned against God. And God said one of the punishments for Solomon was that once Solomon died, that he would split the unified nation. Now we have Israel and we have Judah. Now watch what this verse said. 15 said, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. Look what he's saying. Hosea's message was for Israel, the nation of Israel. Israel had 12 tribes of the 10 tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel, and Judah had two, Judah and Benjamin. And Israel was who God was talking to now. But look what he said. But let not Judah offend. He said, let me tell you, leave Judah alone right now. Judah is doing, you know, they're not perfect, but they're all right in my sight. He said, y'all the one. Don't try to entice the other tribes. Or don't throw your indiscretions upon them. He said, let not Judah offend, and come not to guile, neither go up to Bethaven, nor swear. God just put those places in there because there was two towns in Israel that was doing all kind of different sins. And if you studied those two particular towns, you would see what kind of sins that God was talking about. And he threw that in that scripture to let you know what the people were doing. He said, the Lord liveth. And 16 said, for Israel slid it back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. And 17, the scripture, verse 17, said Ephraim. I want you to know, whenever you see the word Ephraim in a scripture like this, it's another name that is used for Israel. So when you see Ephraim sometime, they're talking about Israel. So that name was just there because he was talking about Israel. So when you read the scripture, say Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. And 18 says, their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Harulas with shame, do love, give ye. That's what the scriptures say. 19 say, and the wind has bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. What it was saying, Israel got into this type of sin long before Judah. Like I said, he's saying Judah is not dead. So Judah's going to do her own thing too now. But Judah, Israel was cutting up way before Judah. In fact, Israel went into the Assyrian captivity more than 100 years before Judah was taken into Babylon. Now, look at this, y'all. Y'all know the Babylonian captivity. I don't know if you ever expound on or looked at the Assyrian captivity. The Assyrians captured Israel, and the Babylonians captured Judah. And you got to know all of them was only captured because of their disobedience. Whenever the children of Israel was following God and they went into any kind of battle, no matter the size of the army, the strength of the army, they fought the giants. David was a 12-year-old boy with a slingshot, and he brought Goliath down. But you see, whenever God gave them prophecy or command or say what I'm going to do, and they kept doing what they wanted to do, that's the same way with us in our lives. When God keeps telling us something over and over and over and over, yes, God is a good God. Yes, God loves us. They had a little story, and I'm going to keep it short. They had a man that had an accident, and he was locked down in his car, and he had to get out because the car was going to explode. And a man passed by, and a man just happened to be a judge. And a man got out of his car, and he got the young man out of his car, and he saved the man. And he saw the young man, and the man saw him, and the judge went on about his business. Some years later, the boy was doing criminal acts, and he wind up in the court of that same judge. So he thought, as the judge had did before, gave him leniency. He looked to the judge, and the judge gave him a lot of time. And he said, well, I thought, you know, you would help me. The judge said, at that time, I was your savior. He said, right now, you know, I'm giving judgment. See, God is our savior, but he also has to deliver judgment. If God looks away from sin, he will commit sin, and God cannot commit sin. Because Israel was like a stubborn calf, God said he will no longer attempt to corral her, abandoning her as a lamb in the wilderness. You know how they say a shepherd take care of his sheep and his lambs? They just go get you, and they keep pulling you back, and they just keep protecting you, and they just keep fighting for you, and they keep, you know, going. God said, I'm going to let her be like a lamb in the wilderness. That's what the scripture is saying. He said, I'm going to stop trying to corral her because they don't want to be held. They don't want me to hold them in my hand. They don't want to receive my blessings. They don't want to know my promises. He said, there'll come a time and I'll stop carousing her. And as I close, I want you to know that the book of Hosea assures us of God's unconditional love for his people. But it is also a picture of how God is dishonored and angered by the actions of his children. How can a child who is given an abundance of love, mercy, and grace treat a father with so much disrespect? Yet, we have done just that for centuries. And I didn't say you, I said we. As we consider how the Israelites turned their back on God, we need to look no further than the mirror in front of us to see a reflection of those things just as the Israelites did. Only by remembering how much God has done for each of us will we be able to avoid rejecting the one who can give us eternal life in glory instead of the hell that we deserve. We all was destined to hell. And the price to pay, we couldn't afford it. We could have never paid the price. But Jesus paid the price in full. And all to him we owe. It is essential that we learn to respect our Creator. Hosea has shown us God's hearts of loving commitment. When we do sin, if we have a sorrowful heart filled with repentance, then God will bring us back to himself and show his never-ending love to us. That's our story for tonight. And as always, if anyone would like to add something, have a point to bring out that maybe wasn't brought out, you know, every time I tell you each and every week that I don't know everything. You know, I don't know everything, and if you can add something to this story, to this lesson, I would appreciate if you would. Also, you may want to give words of encouragement, you may want to ask for prayer. You may want to have a praise report or talk about anything that's happening in your life. This is the forum. This is not my Bible study. It is our Bible study, and we're going into 6 years, and some of you have been calling from day one. And God is pleased by that because that's a form of commitment. Everybody could be doing something else or not paying attention or don't figure the word of God is important. You know, each week we grow a little bit stronger and we learn a little more and a little more, but the Holy Spirit always meets us, and no matter if something could be said a little bit better or if something could be added a little bit more, you know, he always never let his word return void. And because that, I say thank you. It is now the 9:30 hour. I always promise 1 hour. If anybody would like to say anything, pray, or do anything at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. I hope you remember there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that they was doing in Hosea time that's not happening here. But we just have to look at ourselves individually. And we'll never be perfect, because if anyone could be perfect, then God wouldn't have had to send Jesus. So it should be our prayer to be better tomorrow than we are today. That's our lesson for tonight. Since no comments, questions, concern, prayer requests, or anything, none of the buttons is pressed, I'm going to go ahead and lead us out with a prayer, and that'll be our program for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, because it's once more and again that I'm able to go before your people. Lord, I could ask the question, why me? And I know you would answer back, why not you? But Lord, I just want to say thank you. Lord, teach us to hear your call and do your will. Lord, just like you chose Hosea and you first start speaking to him to go marry a lady of whoredom. Lord, we don't know why, and Hosea don't know why, but God has a meaning for everything that you do. Lord, you don't make mistakes. You have a purpose for everything that you do. And you use everything and everybody you created for your will and your glory. Lord, I pray for everyone that's on the line, dear God, that you meet them and bless them in the blessings that they in need of, that their needs are met, dear God, and that they realize if you tell them to do something, that the provisions are already provided. Be with us, dear God, and if it's your will, we'll meet back again on next week, same time, same station. Heavenly Father, help me to grow in grace and the knowledge of our God. Give me wisdom to be before your people, dear God, and I'm going to be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. That's it for tonight. I will see you back on next week, and it is always my desire that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good night, and be blessed.